The talk this afternoon is Does Conducting Routine Health Outreach Events Reach New Women? And this is an evaluation of a breast and cervical cancer screening program for Latina immigrants that we've been conducting in Birmingham, Alabama for the last several years. And I'm Carrie White and I have no disclosures. So just to provide a little bit of background about breast and cervical cancer among the Latina population in the US, we know that both the incidence and mortality of breast and cervical cancer are high among Latina women. Breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer incidence and mortality among Latinas, and the incidence and mortality rates for cervical cancer are also high in this group and higher than we observe among non-Hispanic white women. In addition, and unfortunately, Latinas also have low rates of pap smear and mammography screening. And within the Latino population, there is some variation in screening rates, differences between US and foreign-born women. Foreign-born women tend to have lower rates of pap smear and mammography screening. And some of the reasons that have been suggested for lower rates of screening among foreign-born Latinas is that they face more barriers to screening, such as lack of health insurance, limited English language skills, embarrassments about getting screening, and fear of finding cancer. And there have been a variety of approaches that have been used to promote screening, not only among Latinas, but also other underserved groups. For example, health fairs, media campaigns, and the use of lay health promoters are commonly employed outreach approaches. As a lot of us know, often these activities focus on raising awareness of risk and encouraging screening, but many times these programs do not address the full continuum of care. And this is particularly important for cancer when just getting screened isn't necessarily enough. And so it's important that education about risk be combined with efforts to link the population to the range of care that is needed. And this is particularly true for groups that lack access to health services because of limited financial resources or lack of insurance just won't enable them to get these screenings. So given this burden of breast and cervical cancer in the Latino population and the importance of connecting this group to services, we wanted to develop an outreach program to try to reach Latina immigrant women in Birmingham. And so before I get into the actual evaluation of our outreach program, I just want to provide a brief overview of the Birmingham area and the Latino population there, as well as just tell you a little bit about our program so this makes some more sense. So as some of you may or may not know, Alabama, like many other states in the South, has a very recent Latino immigrant population and a population that is growing relatively rapidly. It's a population that, due to their migration status and due to the sectors of employment where they tend to work, they lack access and regular source to health care. In addition, given the recency of migration into the area, the health system doesn't have a lot of experience or expertise in serving this population. So it's a group that does need to be connected to culturally competent services. So to develop this outreach approach, we conducted a community-based participatory research approach and involved a lot of partners in the Birmingham area. And we began this outreach program in 2002 and started by training and recruiting, Latino community members as lay health promoters. We provided the promoters with breast and cervical cancer education as well as information about access to health services in Birmingham. And then also gave training on communication and event organization skills. We also worked with the local healthcare providers and hospital administration in Birmingham to provide low-cost pap smears to women and free mammograms to women age 40 and over. And the hospitals also agreed that they would provide necessary follow-up care if women had abnormal screening results. So to describe briefly the types of activities that we do with our outreach program, the lay health promoters have been really important in helping us design and visualize what this event would be. They wanted to organize educational luncheons for women in the Latino community and host these lunches in local area churches, which they felt would be a trusted setting for these women. And so we usually have these lunches in two or more churches every year. And as part of these luncheons, we have a Spanish-speaking physician who comes in and gives an educational talk about breast and cervical cancer and discusses screening and is also available to answer any questions that women may have. We also have a Latina breast cancer survivor come in and provide her testimonial about the importance of screening in her life. And then following the event, women are able to schedule pap smears and mammograms on site. We don't provide the screening services at the churches, but they can make their appointments for these screenings in advance. We work with the health department and the hospital that provides the mammograms before the event to establish dates and times for these screenings so that women come to the event and sign up. They know ahead of time exactly when their appointments are going to be. And the lay health promoters have really played a central role in helping to promote this event in the community. And they use a variety of different techniques. They develop a health-related newsletter and distribute it to in the local churches. And about 2 months before the event, the focus of this newsletter is on breast and cervical cancer. And they also encourage the priests and pastors to promote the event in their Spanish language services. They post flyers in the community and then just use old-fashioned word of mouth in their social networks. And the event is also promoted through local Spanish language media. Following the distribution of the breast and cervical cancer focused newsletter, there's a radio call-in show where community members can call in and get additional information. And leading up to the event, there are also radio announcements and advertisements in Spanish language newspapers. So we've been conducting this event since late 2003, early 2004, and we've been doing this event annually up through this year. And what we wanted to know is whether doing this routine outreach was reaching new women or if we were just getting the same women coming back every year. And if we were getting some of the same women coming back, we wanted to identify what factors were associated with attending the event for multiple years. So to carry out this evaluation, we used annual attendance records and examined the frequency of repeat attendance from 2004 to 2009. And then we compared the socio-demographic characteristics for women who attended the event once and those who have attended the event two or more years to see if there were any differences that we could identify between these groups. And then we used multivariable adjusted logistic regression to assess characteristics associated with repeat attendance. So looking first at our annual attendance rates, beginning in 2003-2004, the first year we held the event, 165 women came to our outreach educational luncheon. And as you can see here, our annual attendance has varied from year to year. Our lowest rate of attendance was in 2006, 108 women came that year. And this year, we also only hosted the event in one church, and in other years, we usually hosted in two or more churches, so that may be one of the reasons why we saw lower attendance that year. And then our highest rate of attendance was last year, 2009, and 232 Latina women came to our outreach event. Looking next at repeat attendance, we can see that we are getting some women coming to the event who have attended a previous year. The percentage of women in any given year who have attended previously varies, but on average, about 25 to 30% of women who come to our outreach luncheons have attended previously. So overall, about three quarters of the women attending our event have attended only once, and we see that here as well as on the previous slide. And there's a smaller proportion of women, these darker two pieces of the pie here, of women who have attended multiple times. Most of those women have just attended twice, but some women have attended three or more years, about 9.2%. So who's coming to this event? Well, what we see here in the characteristics of women who come to our event is that in the grand scheme of things, they fit the demographic profile of the Latino population in the area, or Latino women in the area. 71% of the women at our event are age 40 or under age 40. The majority of them have children. And it's also a group that has relatively low levels of education. About two-thirds have less than high school level education. And it's a recent immigrant population in Birmingham, and we can see that here about 38% of women coming to our event have lived in Birmingham for 5 or more years, or have lived in Alabama for 5 or more years. And this is really primary migration. Most of the women are coming to Birmingham or coming to Alabama. That's their first destination in the U.S. We're not getting a lot of women who have lived in California or some of the other Western, Midwestern states. These are really first-time migrants to the area and to the U.S. And this is also a group that has pretty low connections to the healthcare system. Only 7% of the women coming to our event had any form of health insurance, and 53% reported that they had a regular source of healthcare. So it's definitely a group of reproductive age women in need of services. Looking next at the difference between women who attended just once and women who attended 2 or more years, we do find that there are some differences. Those who have attended 2 or more years, a higher percentage of them are over age 40. And there's a higher percentage of women who have attended 2 or more years who have children and who have lived in Alabama for 5 or more years. There's some differences in whether or not women attending the event have a regular source of health insurance or a regular source of health care, but this was not a significant difference between the two groups. And we didn't find any differences related to education or health insurance. So when we looked at these characteristics in multivariable logistic regression, we see that these same differences remained, that those women who were our repeat attenders, they had higher odds of being age 40 or older. They had higher odds of having children as well as having lived in the area for 5 or more years. So what we take away from this evaluation is that using lay health promoters and a culturally relevant outreach model, we are able to reach a large number of new Latina immigrant women each year who are in need of screening services. But we do have some women who are coming back at least one other year. And we think that the characteristics of the women who are attending the event 2 or more times are more likely related to their familiarity with the program rather than using this program as an alternative means of accessing care. There weren't really any differences in health insurance between these two groups, and not really any differences in whether or not they had a regular source of care. So what we think is that women may see these announcements that we have annually as their own reminder to go and get pap smear and mammography screening, or they may be bringing other women in their community who haven't attended the event before and coming along with them as social support for this event. Unfortunately, what we don't know is whether women who are attending the event only once are continuing to receive these screening services. We believe that for some women that they are continuing to receive these services. When women show up for their pap smear and mammography appointments, they have the opportunity to become patients of these centers and receive services on a sliding fee scale. So we believe that some women are continuing to receive these services on their own, but we don't know that. In conclusion, we believe that community-based participatory research approaches and collaboration with lay health promoters who have strong connections to their community and who are active in their community can be a successful way to reach underserved populations. And this approach may be particularly useful in settings with new minority groups and healthcare systems that have limited experience serving these populations. Thank you.
Okay.